Just a quick note, everybody. I had some issues with my microphone earlier, and I didn't realize it until after the show was completely recorded. So I'm doing my best. I've done my best to fix it up. But otherwise, just please forgive the little errors that may pop up.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon with your hosts, Fest and Tanya.
Yes, welcome to episode 11 of the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Fess, and unfortunately Tanya is out right now. She's kind of lost her voice, so she is not with us today. And the show is recorded for the day after Valentine's Day. That means yesterday was Valentine's Day, and that means all you suckers bought everything at full price. Now today, everything's at least 50% off, and so, well, you guys are the suckers. Anyway, with me, we have a guest co-host today, and it's Diana Nock, who does our webcomic reviews.
Hey, how's it going? Well, you can't really answer me since this is a podcast, I guess. Never mind, forget I said that.
Whatever. It is open forum tonight, and we're going to try to get people online to talk about whatever, because, no, we really don't care about Valentine's Day, so we probably won't talk about it as much, but we might talk about some stuff. We'll see how the night goes.
Oh, we can't talk about Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to tell stories and stuff.
Well, whatever, if you want to. Let's see who we can get on. Oh, wait, but first, I got an email we got the last time we had an open forum, and I hadn't read it because I thought we'd talk about it in the next open forum, but last time we talked about a little bit about guest strips or fan art submissions. And Ed of meiosis.comicgenesis.com, that's meiosis.comicgenesis.com. And he was saying that it sucks when people accept stuff and never post it for anybody else to see. He says he tends to see artwork as putting a tiny bit of yourself into it, and so it would at least be nice if people will put it into a gallery or an extras section. I agree, this is especially important if the webcomicer solicits for people to submit their stuff. So there's that email for us, and I finally got it out. And sorry about that, Ed, but there you go. meiosis.comicgenesis.com. But, all right, let's see who is online. Ah, Aaron from last time is with us. He was with us on the last open forum podcast that we did. This is Aaron of tbolcomic.com, the best of what's left. Welcome back.
Thank you.
This is the show that's going to be airing after Valentine's Day, if you care about crap like that. Are there any romance comics that you read?
No.
Are there any romance comics you know of?
Let me ask Google. Romance comics.
Google is everybody's friend.
Ooh, Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm. Wikipedia is nobody's friend.
There's honestly not a lot of romance webcomics out there, I've noticed, just because and the ones that I do see are heavily influenced by manga, probably because most of, you know, the romance comics that are read in this country are now imported from Japan.
Squee!
Oh, phew.
I was checking the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards, but they don't have a romance category. They got a dramatic category, but that's about it.
Yeah, I was checking them too because I was looking for something to review this week, actually, to go with a theme. Well, the very loose theme, apparently, since this is more of an open forum.
Yeah, there's just really not much to talk about otherwise. Oh, wait.
We can make fun of it.
Well, I'm trying to, but there's really nothing existing in webcomics to really make fun of.
I'm talking about the holiday.
Oh, the holiday. Psh, that's too easy.
Yeah.
There was, Xerxes, the guy who runs or is in charge of somewhat of Comics Talk, which used to be Comicspedia. Well, they split up again. They kind of split into two sections. Comics Talk is basically a blog about, you know, webcomics and comics. And then Comicspedia is the the basically comics version of Wikipedia that doesn't just delete you because you're not notable. But
I went to comicspedia.com and it says access denied.
Oh, they must be having troubles. But let's see, I think it was like last year there was, oh man, I forget what it was. Oh yeah, it was called the Blind Date.
Blind Date?
Yeah, basically you signed up in the forums to be an artist or a writer. And you would be randomly paired up with an artist or a writer, depending on what you were going to do. And then you'd have to combine, you know, get together and make like a Valentine's Day strip together. So that was really fun. And the person that I was being the artist for, he ended up, I don't think he makes his site anymore.
Aw.
So.
Aw.
I'm tired of comics dying personally, and needs to stop.
It happens.
Yeah.
Hang on, I've gotten a message. Hang on, let's see what this does.
What does this button do?
Hang on, hello?
Hello?
Is
hello,
this,
how are you?
Is this Interpol?
No. No, no, no.
Who is this?
I want to know you. I'm from Algeria. Do you know where is it?
Are you a fan?
Do you know?
Okay. Are you calling for the show or?
What? Can you repeat that again?
we're recording a podcast right now. Are you calling for the podcast?
Yeah. Tell me, where are you from exactly in America? New York.
Minnesota. Here. We're recording a webcomic beacon. It's a webcomic podcast.
Okay. Do you have cam? Webcam?
What?
Do you have a webcam?
Yeah, I have a webcomic.
But look, but why you put this picture?
What picture?
This picture, cartoons of Tom.
I have mine hosted on Zephyr.net, if that's what you're asking. Where are you from?
I'm from Tunisia. Do you know where is it? In the north of Africa.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Okay. Tell me, what do you doing in your life? Student or worker or whatever?
I'm recording a podcast.
Okay.
Give him a straight answer.
That is a straight answer. I work and I record podcasts.
You don't get paid, it's not work.
Is this a business call?
Can I be billing for this right now?
But who is this girl?
Yeah, well, this is a conference call, actually. We're recording.
Your girlfriend?
Yeah, one of them.
Guess which one?
Okay, she live with you?
No, but we live nearby each other.
Yeah, okay.
That's not very exciting.
I'm sorry, because I have full language, but I train to explain you, okay?
That's okay.
Okay, good. I try to improve my level in this foreign language.
Okay. But we gotta gotta get back to our own little thing here, so. So you have a good night, okay?
Okay. As you like.
Alright, bye-bye.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was weird.
Are those the random chats that you've been talking about, Fez?
Yeah!
I've heard of that stuff before, but it was a long time ago, and it only happened in text.
Is that gonna be in the show?
I think I'm going to leave then.
We needed to get a website from him, otherwise we can't really cite him as a reference.
Who cares? Oh, anyway, you know, romance, whatever.
Oh, no, I got things I can ramble about if you want.
Anything Valentine's Day or anti-Valentine's Day related?
Well, I saw a bum rush on the Valentine's Day cards at Target today. Does that count?
there's literally a bum rush?
It was a mosh pit of and balloons.
And balloons. Excellent.
Yeah.
Ugh. I haven't celebrated Valentine's Day since I was in, you know, elementary school, basically.
Well, one of the biggest deals with any holiday is when people make something Valentine's Day related for their webcomic. You know, but I noticed there wasn't a big push for everybody to share that for this holiday.
Yeah.
This time around. Because I made something like remotely Valentine's Day related for mine, but a lot of people didn't, I think.
I think it's the administration. I think George Bush has got everybody so down. And no, I'm just kidding. We don't need to bring politics into this.
Oh, man. You are bringing down a world of hurt there.
No, I'm just... I threw that out there because it was funny to me.
I just... yeah. Politics and webcomics have an interesting relationship.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the if anybody has known, the 2008 nomination round has results of the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards, and I'm just going to go over this really quick here because we didn't talk about it last time. The 2008 nominations for the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards are as follows: Outstanding Comic Finalist, Ake Wood by Chris Onstad, Girl Genius by Phil Incagia. I can't pronounce these names. Foglio?
Folio. It's pronounced Folio.
All right, I'm just going to skip the names. Gunner Creek Court, Perry Bible Fellowship, and the Phoenix Requiem. Outstanding Newcomer Finalists, Baron Kitten, which I personally love that comic, Octopus Pie, Pictures for Sad Children, The Dreamer, and the Phoenix Requiem. Outstanding Artist Finalists, Aaron Diaz of Dredson Kodak, Dylan McConness of Family Man, Nicholas Gerwich of the Perry Bible Fellowship, Phil Foglio of Girl Genius, Sarah Ellerton of the Phoenix Requiem, and Tracy J. Butler of Lackadaisy. Outstanding Writer Finalists, Chris Onstad of Akewood, Kaja and Phil Foglio of Girl Genius, Spike of Templar of Arizona. We should get her on the show sometime.
Wait, who?
Spike.
Oh, yeah, we should totally get Spike. I can ask her if you want.
Okay, Sarah Ellerton of the Phoenix Requiem and Tom Siddell of Gunner Creek Court. What the hell is Phoenix Requiem? That's popping up a lot.
It's, you know, have you ever heard of, what's it called?
No.
I gotta look it up now.
Okay, you look it up, I'll go to the next one. Outstanding Character Writing Finalists. Akewood? What the hell? I gotta look up Akewood now, okay.
Oh, she did Inverlock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I find her art, it's quite pretty technically, but it's very, I find it sort of boring and stiff and lifeless, to be honest. You know, I'm sure she could work on that and do great, but...
Oof. Outstanding character writing.
Sorry.
Nice.
Akewood of Chris Onstad. Girl Genius by Phil and KJ Foglio. Lackadaisy by Tracy J. Butler. Questionable Content by J. Jax.
What?
Templar Arizona by Spike and the Phoenix Requiem by Sarah Ellington.
Spike should get it.
Long-term comic finalists, Girl Genius, Gunner Creek Court, Templar Arizona, Order of the Stick, Phoenix Requiem. Short-form comic finalists, Perry Bible Fellowship, Penny Arcade, Sinfest, three-panel Soul, XKCD. Single panel, The Book of Biff. We had Chris Helbeck on our show a few weeks ago. Bunny, Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal, Savage Chickens, and XKCD. Comedic Comic, Beaver and Steve, Dinosaur Comics, Penny Arcade, Order of the Sticks, and XKCD. Dramatic Comic, Crow Feathers, Gunner Creek Court, and Phoenix Requiem. Kind of think those all kind of... Anyway... Outstanding layout.
Finish your thought.
Nah. Outstanding layout finalists: Atland, Copper, Dredson Kodak, Gunner Creek Court, and the Phoenix Rec Room.
What does it even mean, outstanding layout?
I think it's the website.
Actually, the way it was explained to me was it's how they actually lay out each of their panels. Some people do a little bit extra with their panels. So, like, if you look at Phoenix Requiem, there's like angled frames.
Ooh. There's angled frames. I think it's a silly category,
that's
personally.
That's a dumb category.
That's really dumb. I mean, the only one I can think of that I've read that has something really different going on with the layouts is Dresden Kodak, but half the time it's practically unreadable. So, I mean, it's very pretty, and I've enjoyed the comic a lot in the past, but he really has a problem with some of his layouts. So I wouldn't consider that outstanding, really.
Yeah, I think they could do better without that category.
Yeah, they really should get rid of that, in my opinion.
It's kind of like use of the medium, where it's confusing.
Use of medium.
But that's
just like saying it's a really good comic.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Use of color. Dresden Kodak, Girl Genius, Gunner Craig Court, Penny Arcade, Perry Bible Bettership. I can't see. I can't. And the Phoenix Rec Room. I can't see Penny Arcade having an outstanding use of color, though.
Penny Arcade has
that.
A nice color, but it's not outstanding.
Yeah, I mean,
it does the job. And same thing like Phoenix Requiem. It doesn't. I mean, the color is nice enough, but it's not great.
It's like textbook.
Yeah, you know? Dresden Kodak has some nice colors. He plays around with it, but I'm once again not sure I would call it outstanding. But maybe I'm just picky.
I mean, Minus, I know, has some really cool use of color. It's like a comic that would, like...
Is Minus listed here at all?
I don't think so.
Well, that's a shame.
You should review Minus next time.
What's the point of reviewing Minus?
Wait, I thought for sure
Because people don't know about it. Have you
it got nominated for an Eisner last year.
Yeah, but this is the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards. They don't entirely cross over.
So
there's some flaws with the WCCAs, as you said before, I know, but...
He doesn't need my help, and I really have something really critical to say.
All right.
I enjoy the comic, and it would be hard to be impartial.
All right, everybody listening, go check out the webcomic Minus.
Yeah, do that. It is enjoyable.
Black and White, Crow Feathers by Amy Sage Brush Watson. I actually didn't like Crow Feathers. Well, okay, it was okay, but I was too reminded of Inuyasha.
I haven't read it. I was thinking of reviewing that one, so don't try to influence my opinion.
Right. I read it about halfway, and I was going to read it the second half, but I just didn't. But it does actually look decent in black and white. Digger is also another one.
Oh, love Digger. Oh, my God, Digger's fantastic.
Lackadaisy. Lackadaisy isn't black and white. It's sepia.
I'm sure they mean monotone, monochrome. Monotone? That's music.
No, it's sepia. I was saying the same thing, but it just you just go down a slope when you.
They should say monochrome.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because black and white kind of illuminates gray tone stuff too. So if you want to get really technical,
Octopus Pie, The Adventures of Dr. McDinja. I love that comic.
Oh, that's a really good one.
And Three Panel Soul.
And that's not even black and white all the time.
Huh.
That's in color sometimes.
Go ahead. No, it was one of the other things I heard people arguing about is that if it needs to fit into one of these categories, it should exactly, like 100% of the time, fit in one of the categories, not just jump around.
Yes. Because
everybody has single panel stuff too, you know.
Right.
Oh, but yeah, Three Panel Soul. Here's like a color CG looking episode. It's cool, but oh.
Well. There's the photographic comic finalists, which are A Softer World, Alien Loves Predator, Dark Red, which...
Needs to win.
That is a really good one, but Lego Star Galactica is also on there, which is really good if you like Lego comics,
Dark
based
Red
on
okay.
sci-fi. And Twisted Kaiju Theater. Certainly, I think it's an overlooked category of photograph comics, and I think that they're... There's a lot of potential in that category. People just gotta do them better, for the most part. Character rendering, Gunner Craig Court, Lackadaisy, Scary Go Round, Dreamland Chronicles, and Phoenix Rec Room. Well,
once
it is
again,
rendering. It's computer rendering.
Well, they should just say best CG comic
yes.
then. And
There's
character
not
rendering.
Too many
what
of
does
us.
That even mean? Character rendering. Does it mean the best, most fleshed out three dimensional character? Does it mean the best drawn characters? Best character designs? It's too
it
nebulous.
Storyline. I thought it meant like storyline. How well did you flesh them out that way?
Well, see,
you know
that's another
mean?
Interpretation. But
that'd
it's,
be character
it could
development.
Be any...
Not rendering means drawing, doesn't it? Drawn, visual.
It, It can be visual or it can be writing wise, and they don't specify. And it's just, it's a nebulous category that should be eliminated.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. environment design. Atland, Dredson Kodak, Girl Genius, Gunner Creek Court, Venus Requiem. Man, there's tons of repeats here.
Yeah, it's a big popularity contest. The ones that are in everybody's head are the ones that get nominated the most.
Yeah, I think they need to modify who can actually nominate.
That's difficult, though.
Well, it's open to anybody who has a webcomic, and I think you should have a webcomic for at least 6 months active before being able to vote, because it means that you're out there more. You're more of a peer than versus somebody who just started a comic a month ago.
But you could have, a crappy webcomic for 6 months. But still,
it's supposed to be by peers, not somebody who might have just made a webcomic just to vote that might disappear right away. If you've been on for 6 months, most likely you're going to be there for six more months.
No, totally. I totally agree. And but you can tell it's a popularity contest even because a lot of these, you see a button on everybody's website. And so it's like you're putting it up there to show that you're part of the group or whatever. And it's like, group think for the win.
Well, yeah, but it's not like readers can, which would be totally skewed if it was up to readers to vote. That's what I can see what their point is.
XKCD wants everything.
Yeah, but I mean, even possibly even having people be webcomicers for a year to at least nominate. I mean, maybe to vote would be different, but to at least nominate, I think you should have a little bit more underneath your belt. Do you have a little bit? Because it's not like they have an actual academy of reputable people. You know what I'm saying?
Just something like that is difficult to legislate, you know?
Yeah. Plus,
I think it's...
Do you have to have, pre-approval before you submit something? Do you have to be invited to submit your nominations?
They do pre-approval. You send something in, and then they'll investigate whether or not you qualify, and it's all manual, so it's strenuous for them, and so who knows what's going to happen.
Well,
I think at the very least, a couple of these comics should have excused themselves just to let somebody else have a shot.
Yeah, I don't get, once again, outstanding environmental design. I mean, even assuming that, that's less nebulous than, say, character rendering, but I'm wondering why some of these were nominated.
Like Gunner Creek Court? I mean, it's like you hardly ever get a really good view of the environment.
Things I could see Gunner Creek Court just because he does a good job. I think he does a good job of making the court itself feel like a character.
Well,
in my opinion,
I went through the catalog last year when he was last nominated, and I was like looking at it. It's like, where's the environment? You're in a room. It was like you can. I mean, you can consider that an environment, but when I think environment, I think
it's a really nice room.
I think of a
nice sprawling epic forest,
like a mood or a tone. If they mean mood or a tone, I think they should say that. Like, I guess I'm guessing that's what they mean then.
To me, Gunner Creek Court has different facets of it. I mean, you have the Guillotine Woods. That's how you pronounce it. You have the court. They had a nice outside look at the court when they were flying over. And I'm not going to ruin anything for people who haven't read the comic.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't come up too often.
Well, no, but I mean, he takes excursions around, and I'm not saying it's great environmental design, but I can at least understand why it would be nominated.
Right.
But some of these, I haven't read Atland, to be fair.
I have.
You have?
That is awesome.
Do you think it's a fair nomination?
I nominated it for that.
Oh, okay. I didn't do any nominations. I've never done anything with this.
All right.
I didn't realize how pointless it would be, or I wouldn't have wasted my time, except for Dark. No, I'm serious. Don't even get me started.
Outstanding website design. Oh, sorry, I was reading ahead.
No, I thought website design was really goofy because most people have like form website.
I don't think the website does not matter at all when it comes to the webcomic. I mean, it can interfere with your experience, but
it's an online medium. And,
I know.
I mean, and the design of the website can have a large impact on how much you enjoy the comic itself.
Well,
so I can,
if I like it, I can put up with it.
Oh yeah.
But
a lot of people just put their comics in PDFs now anyway, so
Yeah, and I'm not even going to bother listing off those because I don't like that. No, I'm kidding. Okay, Atlan, Lackadaisy, Octopus Pie, and PvP.
What's sort of sad is that the Octopus Pie website kind of, I think, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but the old really nice layout she had sort of crashed, and she had to, she has a really, really basic but functional design on there now, and so she's nominated currently in this category for something that no longer applies.
Yeah.
Yes, a little odd.
I wish I'd get nominated, and as soon as I get nominated, I'd make my site look like complete butt. It's like, you nominated me!
Get nominated for anything, just have a big picture of, like, I don't know, goat sex on there or something.
Ew. What? No, okay. And last one, outstanding use of the medium, Diesel Sweeties, Dreads and Codec, Dreamland Chronicles, VG Cats, and XKCD.
What's use of the medium mean?
I have no freaking idea.
This seems to come down to what comics do you like a lot. I mean, even more so than the other categories.
I can understand.
The ones that have a lot of fans.
Like a comic that uses GIFs frequently, or if it's a Flash comic like Lizzie, something that doesn't go that goes beyond a still comic, like a still framed comic, I could see. But it's like otherwise, I think this is a poorly defined. Category.
I would say outstanding use of the digital media maybe would be an okay category, but you would have to.
I don't see how VG Cats fits in here at all. It's like
me
any
either.
Other.
I really don't understand.
It's like any other comic. No, Dreamland Chronicles I can understand because it's CG rendered and taking a photograph. Diesel Sweeties I can see because it's self made pixel art. XKCD I think that's the one that does GIFs every once in a while.
I don't. In recent memory.
Other than that, I'm not really sure.
I mean, it's a stick figure comic, you know?
No, it's outstanding use of stick figures, you guys.
Outstanding use of stick figures.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at it right now. It looks like outstanding use of stick figures. Which World's Worst Webcomic would have won, but that's just me. So
I haven't read that one yet. I should read that one.
Oh, it'd take you so long. I just realized the other day I hadn't even read half of his archive.
Well, I hate to break this to you guys, but we have to end this so we can do our interview for tonight.
Okay.
Oh, but we didn't rag on Valentine's Day.
Well, who cares about that? Anyway, Aaron, thanks for coming on the show with us again, and we'll probably catch you next time we do an open forum. And anyone else, get on Skype. We might have you, but you haven't, so screw you. Okay, we're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll have our interview with Aaron Enstrom of Anders Loves Maria.
Brett Hanley with Casual Ramblings.
So a couple of events have caused me to re-examine the internet and the idea of courtesy in general. First, my birthday was last Monday, which often puts me in a philosophical mood. Well, often in the sense of once a year. Also, the pseudo-review blog Your Webcomic is Bad and You Should Feel Bad has made a return to active updating. Your Webcomic is Bad is an offshoot of one of the Something Awful forums, and it is, possibly, the most gigantic waste of the written word ever. Essentially, John Solomon got tired of trying to convince his fellow goons that he has the biggest dick on the internet and opened a blog site so he could get Google hits from using the names of popular webcomics. Shortly after his debut, he devolved from a moderately humorous Neanderthal into a proto-simian taking pot shots at minor comics and indulging in his personal vendettas. Then, thankfully, his blog disappeared. Sadly, it has returned, brought back to unlife by one of Solomon's associates. To be fair, his associates take a half-assed stab at writing actual reviews instead of spewing the needless vituperative in which Solomon specializes. They are also goons. This is not an insult. Regulars on the Something Awful forums call themselves goons, so it is okay to refer to them by that name. I've heard others refer to the goons as bullies who never grew out of middle school. I think this is wrong. The goons are the useless little toads who trash perfectly good textbooks so the actual bullies will like them. On the internet, they can pretend to be actual bullies because the odds are slim that someone will waste the time necessary to learn where they live and give them the beatdown so many of them richly deserve. This is where they get the courage to be the utter asswipes so many of them turn out to be. The anonymity of the net provides a lot of greasy little punks with the courage to be total dicks. I'm sure that for some of them, it's because their parents didn't love them enough to teach them how to act like human beings in a human society. But for most, I'm sure, it's because they're incapable of making the mental leap necessary to connect words on the computer with the human on the other side. I like to believe that most people at least try to be polite to others. Whether this is from fear of an ass-kicking or a genuine desire not to be hurtful, that's not my call. I just know that as soon as the direct connection is lost, some people seem to lose the ability to not be a dick. They act like they're alone in their room, and the words that they see are randomly generated by a Turing algorithm. Right now, they're chuckling. The internets are serious business. Yeah, asswipe, the internet is serious business. Internet services are a multi-trillion-dollar industry. Let me say that again so you can wrap your tiny little mind around that. Multi-trillion. There are more than a billion people on the web, and your f***ed up attitude towards others is starting to piss them off. Already, several nations have lockdowns on the flow of information on the web, and several others, nations with much more liberal attitudes towards free speech, are considering creating similar limitations. How many more times do you honestly believe that CBS needs to run that 48 hours episode on internet bullying before enough parents get jumpy enough to shut down your venue for dickery? Grow the f*** up. Learn that there are human beings on the other side of your computer and stop being a dick. Back to you, Fess.
Find more from Brett Hanley at casualnotice.com.
The Webcomic Beacon is proud to be an affiliate of The Geek Media. TheGeekMedia.com has a number of geek-related websites, podcasts, and blogs for you to check out. Check out TheGeekMedia.com.
Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net. Free hosting for free thinkers.
Hello.
Good evening, or good morning to you.
Well, it feels like evening. It's very dark.
With us we have Renee Engstrom. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
And she does the webcomic Anders Loves Maria, which is Anders Loves Maria at renee.reneeenstrom.com, I think.
Yeah.
And we'll have a link for that in the show notes for any. I'm not going to spell it all out. And
yeah.
You've been doing Anders Loves Maria for how long now?
Since September of 2006.
Okay, so you're really coming up on your 2 years after the summer here.
Yeah, I guess that's a bit of a stretch. It's still winter, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, like a year and not even a year and a half, but yeah.
Well, with me is Diana Nock, who does our webcomic reviews. Tanya is out sick right now.
Okay.
So.
Hey.
Hello.
And,
it's good.
And you've been doing this comic. I know that you've been doing it daily for a while. Has it always been daily?
No. When I first started, I was contracted to do the comic once a week. So I was very limited in how many times I could update.
You were contracted?
Contracted?
Yeah. I was contacted by a company that wanted to do a webcomic to attract readers to their site.
And that's
when it was originally published in Swedish, and I put it up on my site in English just for fun. But then yeah, me too. It's been a lot of fun, and that since that contract went out, I started to do it daily.
So was this a? Oh, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. This a pre-existing idea that you had, or was this something you created for the contract?
I created for the contract. I don't know if you've read my. I took it down because I kept getting creepy phone calls, but
I heard about that. That sucks. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
On the internet.
It stopped. I haven't had a creepy call in a while. I'm starting to miss that. No. No. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
I was going to talk about that comic I did. I did a 24-hour comic once, and it was quite personal, but it was funny, you know, humorous and touching, and company read that and they wanted to have a comic for their site because they saw something lucrative in that, I suppose.
Well, is the site still around, or they go by the wayside, or?
No, they're still around, but they're going to be updating and refreshing the look of their site, and they want me to do a different kind of comic, not Anders Loves Maria. Well, it will be Anders Loves Maria, but it won't be a...
it'll be a spin-off. It'll
be in a daily... It'll be in the same universe, but told in a different way. It will be done in a, like, sort of like a newspaper comic strip.
Okay.
Oh.
Which would be interesting. I don't know how...
Are you posting that in English, too? Or will that be a separate thing?
It will be in Swedish, but maybe eventually it will be in English. Maybe I'll put it in a book or something.
Yeah, I got to learn Swedish, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, how do you keep up with the daily comic now?
It's not a problem. They don't take me too long to do, and working on comics is my job, so I don't have a full-time job, so to speak, that I... have to do this on top of, you know. So, yeah, working on Anders Loves Maria is like my job, and it's not a very lucrative job at the moment, but hopefully one day.
Yeah.
But you seem to be getting a lot more attention the past couple of months since you started doing it daily. So, I mean, I imagine that you're going to get a nice built-in audience eventually. And you might be able to make it something more lucrative. I mean, I've seen that lots of times the past several years.
It has been getting a lot of attention, and that came quite all of a sudden. So, but it was it's been really, really nice to see that people really like to read the characters and their stories. So, hopefully, it would be something. I'm not quite sure how it will work, but as far as pulling in money for the comic, it's always a tricky business with web comics.
Oh yeah, but,
maybe try to get with Project Wonderful advertising or something. Or...
I do have an account with them, but I have never got anything up because I'm too bad at HTML and stuff like
copy
that.
Copy and paste.
I know, but I know. I just need the time. I need the time to get through all that.
Right.
That's the big thing, is finding the time to fix things like that.
Right. So you said you created this, the Anders Loves Maria, for this company. Did they give you the idea, or did you...
No, it was on me.
Oh, you. And does the comic stem from, like, your own real-life experiences or other people you know, or just you just thought
of it? No, I spent basically a good deal writing a lot in the beginning. I mean, a lot of the things that happen are based on real life. But none of the characters are, in a way, all the characters are based of me, I suppose. Like facets of my personality, you could say, or maybe just random people I happen to meet, or just observations on relationships and life, you know?
Right.
I don't know. But it's good, you know, I mean, I spent a good deal writing for the comic before I started doing it. Like I tend to almost go overboard when it comes to the writing and the characterization.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will write a character's life story basically. So I've got a good deal of material. If I ever run dry of their present day lives, I can always just go do a flashback.
Well, that's good. I've noticed that you I think you're in a flashback currently on the site right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I read through the whole archive just like a couple of days ago to refresh.
I made him.
Yeah.
Oh, good job.
And I didn't notice that, and it didn't feel like it was like a whoa, what's happening now? It felt completely natural. Like there's like a little lull, and probably maybe one of the characters was like thinking back, so it seemed all natural for a flashback. It didn't seem to interrupt the story too much, so it was pretty good.
Well, that I hope is good, because I spend a lot of time planning the comic. Like so it's nothing is going to happen randomly, you know. It's all there for a reason.
But you say you had this like all written out beforehand, but you did re-rail recently when you started doing the daily updates. I mean, they're not quite as daily now because you're taking the weekends for your family and such, which is completely understandable. I couldn't do a daily comic, not a daily full page comic by any means. So, yeah, I mean, I admire how long you did go with the actually daily thing. But you mentioned that you did decide to take it in a slightly different direction. If you want to talk about that at all?
Sure, I can talk about that. I had the story written out, at least for the first book, you could say. Mm-hmm. But the story is it's general, you know, and you let the characters take you there, but sometimes they want to do something else. And that's what happened to me roughly around the same time I went to go daily is the character Anders, he wasn't doing what I wanted him to do in the story, basically. He was going off on his own tangent, and that happens sometimes. Anders basically wanted to go and do his thing. And I couldn't do much to control that, you know, because he had developed so much as a character, and he wasn't about to just do exactly what I want him to do or Maria wants him to do. He went off and did his own thing.
Do you feel that that's an achievement? That's a good quality in a written character, that it does have its life of a life of its own? Or do you feel that you might have lost
it? I think it's crucial. To be honest, I don't think it would be very good if my characters were. No, I mean, I think it's crucial for myself anyway.
Right.
That they sort of can lead.
Hello? Are you there?
Oh crap!
We lost her.
Oh no, did you hang up on her?
No, I did not hang up on her.
Well, I didn't touch anything, so it wasn't me.
Call.
Are you there?
I'm here. I'm on a wireless connection, so maybe it cut out.
Oh, okay, cool. I thought my computer internet died for a minute there, cuz then it takes me, I have to reset it. What were we talking about?
Oh dear.
No one can remember.
Yeah, what were we talking about?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But is there any? Well, let's see. Is there anything else? Any other projects that you may be working on? Other than
besides? Besides Anders Loves Maria? No, not really. There are. I mean, other jobs. No other comic projects.
But oh. Okay.
I'm also working. I do some concept design for an animated film. And
can you say which one?
No, because it's not finished.
Oh.
And it's in Swedish anyway, so you probably wouldn't ever see it.
Well, it might be interesting. It's an animated film in Swedish. Can you say if it's computer animated or if it's just
regular? It's computer animated, but I don't do any computer design. I just do the concepts.
Okay. Well, once it's out, will you say on your website?
If I'm allowed to. I've never actually even asked.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm curious. But if you can't, well, I won't push it. The company. She's gone again.
No. And I never got to ask that one question I came up with. The one. No. You're gonna have to add like intermission music, like pardon us for technical difficulties. Lu 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 lu. Do 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 do. It's intermission. She's overseas and on a wireless.
How does overseas internet work?
Hmm?
Is it satellite or there's like a big underwater cable?
There's both.
Really?
Yeah, there's underwater cables.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
Crazy, man. There's also a car. It runs on water, man.
Shut the freak up. Oh, wait. There she is.
Oh. Hello
again.
Okay, we just have a couple more questions. Actually, Diana, you got one.
Oh yeah. I was just thinking about, since you say your comic is so character driven, I was wondering, do you think that's a factor? And I just noticed it seems like it intentionally goes against like the Hollywood type romantic comedy formula. Whereas, I mean, the beginning of, like, I would consider the first chapter of it.
Yeah.
That seems like it would fall more in line with that sort of thing, but then it keeps going and the characters act real, and I like that the story grows from that, and it doesn't follow like the formula like, oh, there's these two characters, they're in love, and there's a misunderstanding, but then they like run to catch each other on a train or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they make up. Ugh.
Well, I am actually in love with Hollywood cliches, to be
really?
Honest, and I do like to employ them in my comic. Even today, I like that, but I still the story won't be Hollywood cliche, but I do like to have those anyway. I think they're they're a bit cheesy, but they're fun.
A little bit of hope left. Maybe it can be like that.
Well, it's comedy. It's farce.
Love is a farce. I will remember that.
Love is a farce.
Well, you know, in a way it is. It is rather silly, the whole...
yeah, love is silly. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Exactly.
Well, Renee, we're at the end of our time, but thank you very much for coming on the show with us.
Oh, no problems.
And once again, you can see Renee's webcomic, Anders Loves Maria, at anderslovesmaria.reneeengstrom.com, and we'll have it in the show links.
Yeah.
All right, you have a good...
Good luck with your personal farce.
Yeah, have a good day now.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Nice talking to you, Renee.
The same. Bye.
Would you like to get involved with the Beacon? Just send to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Special thanks to Witchy Bunny of HiddenDisguises.com for being our announcer, and also thanks to Brian Lake for providing music for the webcomic Beacon.
And now, webcomic reviews with Diana Knock.
This is my review of Hold My Life by Dale Ingram. It updates Mondays at GirlAmanic.com. The archives are currently free. I heard about this one when it first started updating in 2006. I was just reminded of it this past week when I was looking for something appropriate to review for this Valentine's, anti-Valentine's sort of podcast. It is Valentine's, so I'm bringing you the rock and roll soap opera of aspiring rock star Jenny Heartbreaker as she catapults through life with all the impulsiveness and chaos that would suggest. Hold My Life's not really what you might call a webcomic if you want to get really technical about it. Instead of each installation being a page of panels to scroll through, Ingram constructs each episode as a separate panel you click through and flash, usually accompanied by Penny's musings on the situation and excerpts from her weblog, a plot device that drives a lot of the story. Because of its unusual presentation, Hold My Life easily incorporates links to relevant websites through Penny's words and individual soundtracks for each episode. I'm not usually a fan of comics having songs inserted into the work itself, but I felt it worked here for two reasons. One, the songs are easy to access. You just hit play in the flash viewer thing, or you ignore it. It doesn't really break the flow of reading, unlike print comics making notes in the margins of the songs that should be heard at certain points. Yes, I have seen this, and yes, it is annoying and fussy. I do not like it. Two, I think it fits with the subject of the story, and it can actually serve to be more immersive depending on how distracting you find music to be from the process of reading comics. I liked that with the plot of Hold My Life, I was usually uncertain of just where it was going to go, so I just went along with the flow. There were some plot points I felt were telegraphed way ahead of time, like, for instance, a certain love interest in the story. Not going to ruin it for you. Don't go in reading this expecting a realistic portrayal of a struggling musician. It's melodrama. There's cheating boyfriends, emotional angst, evil record companies conspiring against our scrappy young protagonist and her friends. The fate of true creativity and popular music may rest in their hands. So, luckily, it doesn't take itself too seriously, or probably forced to gag. The art is serviceable, it's original, as evidenced by the occasional look at Ingram sketches. It's finished and constructed in Flash, I believe, so it has a very slick and digital appearance, which works sometimes. When Ingram's sense of style falters, however, it just comes off flat and boring. There's lots of cut and paste, though, not just within episodes, but with characters across the whole series. So you'll have stock faces and poses with major characters like Penny. This leads to a feeling that the story is acted out by mannequins. It's at first distracting and then mind-numbing. I really wish Ingram would just do more drawing suited for specific panels in the story instead of stitching together already done faces and bodies. Anyway, A Hold My Life is an interesting little rock and roll romp like some of the Valentine's candy I know I will be indulging in once it goes on sale on the 15th. Sweet, sour, and fun to indulge in, but best in moderation. Though I guess moderation is not very rock and roll, though. So, you know what? Since the archives are free right now, just go ahead and read it all in one sitting. You can blame me if you get sick. So, that's my review. Happy f***ing Valentine's Day.
Find more from Diana at jinxville.com. Let's hear some webcomic impressions from Aaron Edwards.
Hi guys. It might be Valentine's week, but I really don't give a f*** about keeping theme. This week, we have badly drawn philosophers at stupidrobot.net. Now why in God's name would I be sharing a half-aborted launch of a shitty drawn comic that has under 10 strips and 700 page views total? Well, I did the new and fresh pimping of Bear and Kitten last year, and they turned out pretty well. I have a good feeling about this one. Like 100 comics before it, Stupid Robot features a floating eyeball, a brain in a jar, and Friedrich Nietzsche. This is another comic written by an intelligent college grad or post-grad. It reminds me of dinosaur comics, but without the cut-and-paste setup, and certainly without the years of refinement. It needs a lot of work in just about every area. But I think the few strips that are up are smart and funny, so for me this will be an interesting project to watch develop from literally the bare-bone start. I'll do a double impressions next week, but for now, let's see if we can encourage some growth from a new sarcastic intellectual webcomic. My favorite sort. And judging from this, I really don't think anyone can guess just what the f*** I'll like or hate anymore. I certainly can't predict it. So, keep sending them in. Bye.
Find more from Aaron at anatoly.com.
As I said at the beginning of the show, what I was using to record this show originally with was a damaged microphone, and I didn't know until after I had recorded everything. Luckily, my voice is recorded in a separate channel, and I was able to fix most of it, but as you could hear, some of it was still kind of scratchy. Anyway, I also forgot to record the tail end of the show, so I'm solo for this section. But I wanted to go over stripfight.org. I've mentioned this on the show before, and I kind of got things out of order, but right now I mentioned round 143, and the theme was This Is How It Ends. And at first place, Peter Bear won. Second place, Kevin. Third place, Lisa Sindolf. And the one that they're currently voting on right now is round 144, infomercials, and there's 5 entries. So go over to stripfight.org and go ahead and vote. And the voting is going to end in, I think it's going to be about 2 days. The February 18th is when the voting ends, and that is also the deadline for round 145, whose theme is Pets Gone Wild. So if you feel you can get that in there in time, go ahead and get your submissions in before the 18th, and we'll keep track every week with stripfight.org and see how things are going. So I invite everybody to go ahead and just have some fun. Punch out a strip based on the theme and vote on the winners. And, of course, we'll announce them on this site, on this podcast as well. So as far as anything else, let's see, we got some milestones to go over, and our announcer Witchy Bunny will go over the milestones, except we did get one last minute entry, which she did not record, as Witchy Bunny is getting married right now, or at least I think in a in a couple of days, she and her husband-to-be are going off to Las Vegas, and they're going to be getting married in Las Vegas. So congratulations, Witchy Bunny. And the one milestone that she was not able to record is the webcomic Cooties at cooties.comicgenesis.com. That's C-O-O-T-I-E-S. And they've hit their – he's hit his 100th strip over there, so go check that out. And here's Witchy Bunny with the rest.
Quitting Time at quitting-time.com celebrates 2 years online. Coffee Time, Volume 2, and Across the Way have reached 100 strips each, and both celebrated their first anniversary at coffeetimecomics.com. Congratulations on your milestones.
Well, next week we'll be having Jersey Drods, if I said his name right, on the show with us. He is from Sugary Cereals at sugarycereals.com, and that's a cereals as S-E-R-I-A-L-S.com. And also he's from the podcast Art and Story at cvcomics.com/artandstory. So go ahead and check those sites out, and we'll be back next week with Jersey. We're going to be talking about serial comics and printing. If you have any questions for Jersey or for the Webcomic Beacon, send them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Otherwise, Diana's already out, but thanks to Diana for being stand-in co-host for this show. Hopefully Tanya will be back on her feet next time. And this has been Fess, and we're out.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.